J. Dennis Hastert, former Speaker of the House, joined Dickstein Shapiro in 2008 as a member of the firm's public policy and law practice. Speaker Hastert served from January 6, 1999 until January 3, 2007 and was the longest serving Republican Speaker in history. He was elected to the House in 1987 and served Illinois' 14th Congressional District. Richard Gephardt is President and CEO of Gephardt Group Government Affairs. He provides strategic advice to clients on issues before the House, Senate, and executive branch in the federal government. Mr. Gephardt served for 28 years in the House from 1976 to 2004, representing Missouri's 3rd Congressional District, home to his birthplace, St. Louis. He was elected to serve as House Democratic Leader for more than 14 years, as House Majority Leader from 1989 to 1995, and Minority Leader from 1995 to 2003. Mr. Gephardt, Leader Gephardt, I want to start with you. You were elected in 1976. How much money did you have to raise to get elected back then?
The grand sum of $70,000 for two campaigns, a primary, which was hotly contested, and a general election.
Wow.
$70,000.
Mr. Speaker,
that in a day now.
Right, in a day, exactly. Mr. Speaker, you were a coach, high school, a wrestling coach, and you were offered a job, I believe, as a principal. But then you went to Congress. How did your role as being a coach help you in your role as speakership?
Well, I think, first of all, being a coach, you had to look at a team and see what was the best thing for the team, and how could you move a group of people forward and get things done. And, you know, so I think the skills that you built during those years of coaching and bringing people along and mentoring, the same skills that you did in leadership. You had to bring people along, you set goals, you tried to achieve those goals, and you tried to move forward. The interesting thing is when I was offered the job of speaker of a principal, assistant principal, you know, I thought, you know, I looked at the principal's office where I worked, and I saw him work every day, and he had the same seven or eight chairs outside his office all the time with the same kids in them. They're smoking the johns and raising heck on the school buses and just all same kids every day. And I thought, I'm not sure I want to do that. And on the other side of his office was the teachers. And, you know, they didn't want to ride the fan bus on Friday night, and they didn't like these kids in their study hall, or they wanted to move somebody out of their class. And I said, I don't want to do this for the next 20 years of my life. So I ended up, you know, running for the legislature, spending 6 years in the legislature, going to Congress, never dreaming I'd ever be in leadership, never dreaming I'd ever be in leadership in Congress. I ended up as Speaker of the House. And outside my door, there were seven or eight chairs. And it was the same people in those chairs every day. Became the principal of the Congress.
I want to ask you both this question. Congressman Gephardt, first to you. Congressional approval ratings are generally low, but now they're near historic lows. Why is that? What's contributed to it? Is it the media's fault? Is it Twitter? Is it the broken relationships on Capitol Hill?
Well, I think you got to start this discussion by understanding that Congress is usually unpopular, and there's a good reason for it. Congress is a huge organization. It's 535 people, and they're trying to reach agreement on very controversial, emotional issues in the country. And so it's always hard for them to operate, for them to make those decisions. You know, I always say politics is a substitute for violence. It really is. And when people come here, they find out there's 534 other people in the building. Many countries, one person makes the decision, or a small group. Here, we have this huge group, so it's always hard. Lately, it's been a little harder than usual. And I chalk it up to the fact that we had the worst recession since the Great Depression from 2007 or 8 until just recently. And when you have a big recession, a lot of people lose their job, lose their house, lose their pension. They get angry, understandably, and they tend to send people to represent them who are equally angry. And having made up their mind that these are the answers, and it's going to be my way or the highway, and so there's been less willingness to compromise on some of the important issues. I think that's changing as we speak. I think people who came with that frame of mind are starting to either change their mind or they're leaving Congress. So I'm an optimist. I think in the days ahead you're going to get back to a more normal situation between the Congress, within the Congress, and with the whoever's president. And I think you'll get a better atmosphere. But remember, it's always hard. It was hard when we were there, and it was hard when anybody's there, because the issues are tough, they're controversial, and everybody has a different opinion in that group of 535 of what to do.
Speaker Hastert, are you optimistic as well?
Yeah, I'm optimistic. Look, this is the best governmental system in the world as far as I'm concerned. And you can talk about the problems we have, but yet, if you want real democracy, if you want real participation, this is where it's at. And I think most people around the world, if they had had the opportunity, they would be here in this country. You know, I see some of the same problems that my colleague, you know, we were across the aisle, but we were also just across the river. His district in St. Louis, my district in Illinois, are pretty close together, fairly close together. But, you know, I learned a long time ago that when I was serving in the Illinois legislature, there was a couple people in the Illinois legislature, I just couldn't understand where they were coming from. And they were always getting up, and they were anti-farmers, and they were anti-business, and they were just, I thought, just protagonists all the time. And then one time I got on a train, I had to meet my wife in St. Louis. So I got a train in Springfield, went from Springfield to St. Louis, and passed through the district these folks came from, and it was down in what they called down below, and Granite City and Bethaldo and that area, and it was all closed down factories, and it was refineries that were closed and broken up, and you know, it was very, very dire. So I learned, you know, everybody that's in the Congress, everybody that's elected, comes from someplace. They represent a group of people, and one of the things that you have to realize is being a leader is that everybody has a right to be there, so everybody has a right to be heard. And everybody has a right to be part of the process. And the process isn't always pretty, but it's constantly trying to move people together. And I think what the leader did and what I had to do is constantly put people around the table to try to find some consensus to move forward. And I'm not sure if that's happening today, but that will happen.